I will bless the Lord at all times. The praise of God shall ever be in my mouth. This opening line of our psalm today got me thinking about time. So I decided to scrap talking about the Beatitudes. Y'all have heard the Beatitudes before? If you need to, I'm going to trust that you're okay on that. If you need to listen to an old sermon about the Beatitudes, you can listen to one of mine online or lots of others. So I'm going to trust you to handle that for the day. And we're going to talk about some other stuff instead. Today, as you know, is All Saints Sunday, a festival day in which we remember the saints who have gone before us, from the most famous figures in the Bible, to centuries of Christian leaders, to the untold numbers of unnamed and unknown Christians, faithful from before, to our own beloved family and friends, and even those we have lost in this past year. All Saints reminds us of the great cloud of witnesses who have made Jesus known since forever, those whose faith and faithfulness inspire us today. I was thinking particularly about this message of the great cloud of witnesses when I drove over here through the fog today and thought, well, the great cloud of fog, I'm going to decide that that's for All Saints, that's like the great cloud of witnesses, even though fog and our beloved deceased are very little alike, but just go with it. So when you see the fog on All Saints Day, you know that it's the great cloud of witnesses that are always with us. On this banner behind me, it's very hard to talk about the banner that's behind me, so I won't look at it too much more. On the banner behind me are listed just a few of these saints who have gone before us to be with Jesus, some of those whose absence we feel in our own hearts today. In this congregation this year, we lost Norma and Glenn and their grandson Mark. We lost Glenora and Alice Teeters, who had been gone for a while but was still a member of the congregation. So at least those five from this congregation that we have lost. Now, these folks had some things in common. They were faithful and selfless and generous and committed to the church. Even Alice, after she died, I got a call from Samaritas saying, oh, Alice was a faithful donor to Samaritas forever, and we need to get a hold of her family. Do you have the information? So I was able to connect them up because Samaritas, one of our, you know, one of our mission partners that does refugee resettlement and lots of family services, they needed to find Alice because of the good that she had done for them through the years. And of course, Norma and Glenn and Glenora all worked at the Loaves and Fishes Pantry that we already heard about a little bit this morning. And Mark served as an acolyte and was just one of the most beloved guys around here. If you knew Mark, he was a wonderful, wonderful young man. The loss of these folks is keenly felt by some. Some of you didn't know any of them, and that's okay. Just, you know, be cool. I resist the urge. I'm not going to talk about them anymore because I missed some of their funerals, and I'd be happy to go on and on about some of these folks, but I trust that that happened at their funerals in due time. So I won't go on. But I will just say that if every church were filled with, you know, Glenoras and Normas and Glens and Marks and Alices, that the world would feel the difference of that, the difference their presence made. And even as today we look back and remember those whom we have lost, our scripture readings today push us to look forward as well. In our first reading today, which is from Revelation, which isn't usually how that goes. Usually it's from the Old Testament. Revelation is the last book in the New Testament. I don't know. I didn't make the lectionary, but there it is. A little weird. In Revelation, we see a glorious vision of God's future for us. An uncountable multitude from every nation gathered around God's throne, all forgiven and set free by the death and resurrection of Jesus, all safe forever in the love of God. Listen again to this last part of it. And the one who is seated on the throne will shelter them. They will hunger no more and thirst no more. The sun will not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of the water of life, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. That is the future God has promised to us. All Saints Sunday is not just about those who have gone before. All Saints is about those who are coming yet. The faithful saints in future generations, from the children in this room and down in Sunday school, to their grandchildren and great-grandchildren, the church will go on. So well done on the prelude hymn. Nailed it then. Nice work. Like he did earlier claim that he could read my mind, and okay, I'm not going to disagree at the moment. It's all saints, not just the ones we know, not just the ones we remember, not just the ones we recognize, all saints. All Saints reminds us that God is working outside these walls, beyond our community, and then even when this congregation is no more, which someday will happen, even when this congregation is no more, the Church of Jesus Christ will live on. And in that, we can be thankful. In our second reading today, from the first letter of John, we again hear a message about time. John is writing to a church torn apart by conflict and loss, writing to the people who remain, but are unsure of what they should do now that their church has changed so much. John's message to them is simple and powerful. Beloved, we are God's children now. What we will be has not yet been revealed. We are God's children now. Even as we grieve the losses of the past and worry about the uncertain future, God is with us right now, blessing us right now, calling us to engage in God's work now. The reign of God is among us right now, because God has already given us everything we need in the life and death and resurrection of Jesus. Even with all that we have done in the church and all that the Spirit will yet lead us to do, maybe now is the most important time. What if now really was the most important time in the church? I mean, think about the whole, like, this congregation, which has like 50 years of awesomeness, and the whole Bible and the whole ye olde history of the church. But what if now was actually the most important time in the life of the church? What if it wasn't just about what's going to happen in the future? What's happened in the past? What if now really was the most important time in the life of the church? It is, Wilma said. And it is, I agree, of course. Because the thing is, the past is the past, and we can't change it, and you know, we can learn from it, and we can honor and celebrate parts of our past, and we can, you know, repudiate parts of our past, frankly, we need to do that too, and repent of them. But we can't do much about the past. And the future is in God's hands. Right? We can't control the future. We can't predict the future. What we do now shapes the future. But that's what makes now so important. Now is the most important time, because now is the time that we have to follow Jesus together. Now is the only time we can follow Jesus. We can't follow Jesus in the past. We can't follow Jesus in the future. Now is the time we have to participate in God's work, to love and serve one another and our neighbors. In Jesus, we are free to love and serve this world as it actually exists today. Not the world as we wish it was or the world as we remember it, but the world as it actually is. In Jesus, we are set free to live in the actual world of right now, to go out into what is real. I mean, I don't know if you guys have like Facebook or whatever, but like, it's pretty easy to look at the world as it is today and wish it were different. It's pretty easy to be nostalgic for the past, and to be hopeful of a better future. But now is the only time we get to shape that future. Now is the only time we have to follow Jesus today. So rather than waiting for like what's the church going to do next year, or what's the next big thing, we just do what we got. We get up in the morning, maybe we get an extra hour of sleep, and we give thanks to God for that, and then we go and do the thing today. And if we mess it up, and there will be plenty of days when we mess it up, if we mess it up, we ask God's forgiveness, we get up the next morning and try again. That's all we can do. That's all we can do. Our salvation does not depend on these things. Our salvation does not depend on now or the future. Our salvation depends on what God did in Jesus quite a while back. And on the new life that is still given to us in Jesus every day. Now is the time when the church is alive in us. Now is the time when Jesus is acting through us. Now is the time when the Holy Spirit is calling us to go out and do some surprising new thing. We are the church. We are the community of people who are both foolish and hopeful enough to gather around Jesus Christ. Jesus is here today among us, now, present in bread and wine, and present in the faces of each of you in this room. We see Jesus in one another. We experience Jesus in one another. Jesus' story is the story of death and resurrection, the story that love and forgiveness and freedom are more powerful than sin and death. Whatever today looks like for you, God is with you now. Whether you're overwhelmed by grief or loss, maybe because of some of the people whose names are on the wall behind me, or by the loss of something else, someone else in this world, God is with us. When we're fearful about an uncertain future, God is with us. When we celebrate our Pentecost of 50 years of ministry this year, God is with us. When we send kids to camp, God is with us. And God is with the kids are us, so God is with them, us also. When we rejoice in new opportunities, God is with us. Right now is God's time. Right now, today, is God's time. Right now is always God's time, and always our opportunity to follow Jesus more faithfully together. Amen.